You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and I'm flying solo again today as my co-host, psychologist Dr. Melody Fox, is making a house call, tending to one of her clients. Now, solo or as a team, each week we will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing options to raising the quality of life for the whole family. We will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to keep bringing you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is, it's a different one. It's male hormone replacement therapy. Now, as I've studied for this interview, I've learned a great deal. For instance, men's hormones may be low at any age due to stress, unhealthy diet, advancing age, and toxicity in the body. Symptoms may include fatigue, irritability, depression, muscle loss, weight gain, decreased libido, hair loss, lack of motivation, and even midlife crises. Now, with hormone loss, men put themselves at risk. I didn't know a lot of this. Now, they put themselves at risk for prostate cancer, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, and many other serious diseases. Now, to discuss this, our guest today, Dr. Prudence Hall, has been featured on Oprah, Dr. Phil, The Doctor Show, and is best known for her groundbreaking work treating both men and women with bioidentical hormones. As the founder of the Hall Center Venice, she is one of the pioneers in the field of bioidentical hormones, having worked with these type of hormones since 1984. Now, Dr. Hall, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's really a pleasure to be here. I love talking about men and their problems, and you've done your homework. That was a good intro.
Well, thank you. What I've learned, one of my questions is, as I was also looking into a little bit of your background, what did you learn or witness with your patients that influenced you so much to stop your own surgical practice and devote your time exclusively to the field of natural hormone treatments and anti-aging medicine?
Well, you're right that when I started out in practice, I did a lot of surgery. I was one of the doctors who was learning laparoscopy, you know, once I graduated from medical school and my residency. And what I found is that a surgical intervention is like trying to get the cows back into the barn, and it's much better to keep the gate up because, yep, you know, going in and trying to correct something once it's really advanced and you know, bigger is much harder than really trying to prevent it. And I realized that I didn't really have the tools to help my patients with a lot of their very, very common and miserable kinds of symptoms. So they would come in complaining of gaining weight and having a low sex drive and, you know, just feeling tired and not being able to sleep. And I didn't really have those tools. So the more I learned about how to help women with their problems, the less time I really had to donate to surgery. And I finally just, you know, was overwhelmed with the amount of patients who were getting such great results that, you know, that brought more patients who had those, right, problems. So I decided to really just concentrate on helping patients to age well and feel great at any age.
Well, and one of the things that I really liked as I was looking into this, it had to do with the fact of the term natural. You know, I think that, you know, I don't think people have looked into it to the point, or at least I didn't fully understand it. So explain a little bit about this concept of natural bioidentical hormones versus some of the other options that people have out there.
So hormones come in lots of different varieties. There are hormones that are made to be our own hormones, exactly the same chemical configuration as our own hormones. Or there are hormones that are created to be, hormones of different animals or different configurations. So all hormones are made in the laboratory. But how we configure them or how they're manufactured and synthesized makes all the difference. For example, with the bioidentical hormones that I use with women, an estrogen that's made in the laboratory comes from soy and yams, and it'll be exactly the same hormone that a woman is making. I mean, no difference whatsoever. And with men, the testosterone is exactly the same testosterone that men normally make. So in terms of it being natural, I mean, water is natural for a plant. Food is natural for humans to eat. We have to eat food or we'll die. So these hormones are just as natural as food and water for us. I mean, they're part of the body already. The body is currently making them, but they're not making them in a quantity that's a youthful level. The level of hormones is decreased. So we simply using the same hormone that our body is making, we just bring it up to a more robust level.
Okay. Well, now how do you determine what it is that somebody needs? In other words, is there a type of blood work or a type of diagnosis that determines who's low, and if so, how low? So, to be able to bring them up to the proper level.
So there are a lot of ways to make a diagnosis. So first of all, I like to talk with patients and find out what symptoms they're having. And those symptoms are really important because they'll translate into hormone deficiencies or into dietary problems or into lifestyle problems. So once we know what's going on in terms of the symptoms, we usually start with blood work. And when I check hormones, I like to check all the hormones. I don't like to just check the reproductive hormones. So a man's reproductive hormones are testosterone, and a woman's reproductive hormones are estrogen and progesterone. So we start with blood work, and then I like to check the thyroid. And I use blood work and also this machine called a Thyroflex, which is about 95% accurate in terms of diagnosing the thyroid gland disorders. So that's a very good test to do. And then I like to check for our adrenals, which are our stress hormones, and then the sunshine hormone, which is D3, I check for that, and then the pituitary hormones, which are prolactin and human growth hormone. So we hit all the different blood tests that would sort of evaluate what the patient's hormonal status would be.
Now you just mentioned human growth hormone, and that's something that as a sports fan we've been hearing quite a bit about. There's a human growth hormone that we're hearing about that athletes are using. Is that something that is also sort of involved in this, what is the difference? I mean, obviously this is now something that's being banned. But is it being banned because it's bad for them or just because it's improving their ability to do their particular sport?
Right. So it's a sports enhancing hormone. And actually HGH is it's a natural hormone. It's exactly the same chemical compound that our brain is making. And it's a very valuable hormone that starts to decrease as we age. Now, these ball players, they're 20, 25, and they're using it to get a competitive edge. Their levels, and I've checked a lot of high endurance athletic sports people, and their levels are really extremely high. They're 400, 500. And what they're doing is they're raising their levels to 1,000, 1,500 to get an extra bit of muscle bulk and speed and performance, which is, that's illegal for the field. So when patients age, men and women both, their human growth hormone drops from a high robust level down to below 100. And with that decline, noticeable aging happens. those patients lose their muscle mass, their skin sags. They develop that jowling at their mouth, you know, with the sort of marionette jowling where their jaw drops. Their bones start to thin. All the organs start to atrophy. So elderly people, they lose their bones, they bend over, they look old, they're wrinkled. And a lot of those aging effects are due to human growth hormone. So I really want to make a distinction between having a super high level of a normal natural hormone or just bringing it back to a physiologic healthy level.
Right. And that's what I hear you
say. And it works. It works, Alan. It works. Yeah. I mean, those athletes are getting extra performance from HGH.
Okay. But what we're talking about now, for the most part of what you're doing for your patients, is you mentioned that the number 400. So let's say that if I were tested, went through your blood test, and I was tested at a, and you were to say for my age, I should be at about a 400. But I was at a 100. You're just going to try to bring me up to the 400 level that my body's been accustomed to. You're not trying to take it up to, you know, 1,000 so that I can go out and compete with Kobe Bryant.
That's right, Alan. That's right. So the level I look for in men is about 300 to 350. And what we've found is that when human growth hormone is at that ideal level, diseases are prevented. So there's really, we build muscle, we lose fat. You know, the heart is healthier. The heart is a big muscle. It's healthier. It prevents dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So it's a very important hormone. But the rule with this hormone replacement is never to bring it to super, super abnormally high levels. Just bring it back to a reasonable, healthy range. And then we get really big results from that.
Now, for those of us, I mean, that are, and I'm in my mid-50s, so, and I just noticed,
you don't look it, Alan. You look really youthful. I would have pegged you at maybe 30-something.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm probably, I guess, most thankful to my parents, because I think, you know, much of that has been hereditary. But what about from the standpoint, in other words, how do you know what my level has been? In other words, if somebody comes to you and they're already fatigued and they're already really having a lot of health problems and issues, how do you determine, I mean, what is that level that is their norm? Or is there something that fits for most anybody that would be, you know, a mid-50s male?
Well, there, you know, ideally it would be great to measure levels of men at 20, 25, because that's really where men are at their peak in terms of their hormonal function and levels. But most people haven't done that. I would say it's very rare that anyone has done that. So then there's sort of average ranges for men. And what we do is I like to see, is the hormone accomplishing what I want it to accomplish? For example, testosterone will bring down the blood pressure, and it lowers cholesterol levels, and it lowers the PSA. It'll prevent prostate cancer. So I like to look at the target and the goals that we want to achieve. Is that man depressed? Or is he now building muscle again? Has he lost the fat that he wanted to lose? So we look both at blood work, symptoms, and actually the patient to see how he's responding. And some men don't take much testosterone or don't need much testosterone. Other men need quite a bit more. And then I look at the symptoms. Is he getting a little bit of acne? Well, he's on too much testosterone.
Yeah, that I could see that one. Two thoughts came to mind. One was the fact that for those of us that are parents, it might not be a bad idea for us when we take our teenagers or in to get any sort of tests done or a physical done. Is there a test to where, I mean, they can go ahead and have their hormones checked at that time, and just something they can keep in their file?
Oh, that would be actually just beautiful to do that. That should be part of an exam, I think, at any age for any patient, because hormones are so important for our well-being and our longevity. So what I would suggest testing for a male would be a free testosterone and a total testosterone.
Okay.
And for a woman, we'd want to check her estradiol and her FSH. Now, there are other hormones that can be checked, too. You know, I just want to mention that thyroid hormone deficiency is very common in teenagers, because a lot of this is hereditary in terms of the thyroid disease. And blood work is not very accurate for that. But I would suggest that regardless of the fact that it's not all that accurate, we get a baseline for a test called a TSH, which is a thyroid stimulating hormone, and a free T3. So that's the active hormone. That free T3 is an active hormone. And that should be, you know, at a robust level, it should be 3.5 to 5.5. See, the reference ranges for some of these hormone values is not very accurate. So over the years, I've redefined what I consider to be normal and to use as a reference range for my patients. I don't always look at what the lab says is normal.
Now, you mentioned the thyroid. Is the thyroid inefficiency or the issues you're mentioning with some young people, is that one of the contributing factors to the fact that we're becoming such an overweight society?
Excellent. Yeah, observation. Yes, that's exactly what's happening. So it's not only a diet and the fact they're eating more fast food and sugar and refined carbohydrates, but it also is related to the fact that so much thyroid disease is not being diagnosed. It's not being picked up. And then also for young girls, the birth control pill causes weight gain.
Yeah, to touch on that. I know we had discussed that a little bit when we had talked about in regards to talking more on the subject of females, but I thought that was so important when you brought up about that the birth control pill is apparently really bringing down their hormone level to the point that it's possibly causing all of these other problems.
Mm-hmm. So the birth control pill, in my experience of almost 30 years of dealing with women on the birth control pill, is that it causes weight gain and depression and poor memory and a lack of muscle building and a low sex drive. Some really distressing symptoms for most women. I mean, just a few minutes ago, I was talking with one of my patients who said her 24-year-old daughter is just not right. She said she's depressed, and she said, I just don't know what's going on. She's graduating from USC, but something's wrong with her, and she's moping around, and she just doesn't want to do her activities and her sports. And the first question I asked was, is she on the birth control pill? And the mother said, yes, she's been on it for the last year. And she said, oh, and I guess she has declined in the last year. So it's really a noticeable effect that the birth control pill causes in terms of women's symptoms and how they feel.
Well, it makes sense. With part of my studies, one of the things that I was looking at was, the kind of the history of it, because going back for me thinking about this in the 80s when some of the football players were taking testosterone and human growth hormones and stuff, at that time there were people writing about it saying that some doctors thought that testosterone was causing prostate cancer. Why did doctors think that at that time, and what has occurred that has changed that thought?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, in the 80s, they really weren't using bioidentical testosterone. They were using something called methyl testosterone or diabinol. So these were steroids which were not identical and natural to the body. They were foreign substances that were manufactured and just, we really didn't know that much about creating bioidentical hormones in the early 80s. So, and methyl testosterone increases liver cancer. And there were some studies out of Harvard concerning actually three patients. And this is a lot of work that was done by Abe Morgenthaler, who's one of the Harvard urologists. And he went down into the basement of the archives of Harvard, and he found that the study, the one or two studies that said that testosterone was associated with increased prostate cancer, that those studies were just terrible studies. He said they involved three patients, and as he read it as a, you know, kind of an enlightened doctor who had been trained at Harvard, he said that it was just total nonsense. And so they started a study at Harvard where they looked at 100,000 men to see if there was any increase in prostate cancer, and they didn't find that association. They found actually the opposite, that when men had robust levels of testosterone, they were less likely to develop prostate cancer.
Right.
So, I mean, this is kind of typical of medicine. You know, we sort of get set in our ways and we never go back to check, you know, why we felt that way.
Well, that book or study that you were just talking about with the some of the experts from the Harvard Medical School, that's one of the books that I was reading getting ready for this. And that's one of the things that amazed me was that point you brought up about the fact that the initial study that was done, and I think it was 1941 or something like that, was that it was based on three people. and to base something and let it go that long based on three people just seemed to amaze me and kind of scared me that, that we're making these medical decisions based on a study of three. And I really liked the fact that they had then gone and done one on 100,000 males. And as you said, to prove just the opposite, which made perfect sense, because if prostate cancer is something that we get when we're older, that happens to coincide when our testosterone levels are down. Why would it be that by doing something to increase our testosterone would cause something that seems to happen when it's low? So
that's exactly right. Young men do not get to get prostate cancer. It's a disease of older men, and it's a disease most likely related to their low testosterone levels, also to milk consumption and things like that. That's not very good for men either, to consume dairy products.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Cancer. Uh-huh. Dairy increases prostate cancer and also breast cancer in women. There's some wonderful studies out there. Something called, there's a film called Forks Over Knives. I'm not sure if your readers or if your listeners have checked out that movie yet. It's a documentary that's very interesting about dairy and diet and how it decreases cancer. And then Abe Morgenthaler's book is a wonderful book called Testosterone for Life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's one of the ones that I read. So yes, I think that helped quite a bit. We have some questions that are coming in from our listeners, so I would like to share a couple of those with you. One says, reading the review on the site, I am most curious about the effects of hormone therapy on weight. Since turning 40, and then in parentheses, he has now 55, it has been extremely difficult to lose the extra pounds I have put on around my midsection. It does not matter how many hours I spend in the gym or running. My love handles, parentheses, as my wife terms them, seems that are here to stay. What percentage of the time does your treatment work and have a positive effect on this particular issue?
What a great question. What a great question. This is something that I hear every day. And I just want to address that by saying that weight loss is not only related to calories in and calories out. So it's not only related to what you eat and how you limit your calories and how much you expend through exercise. That's one of the paradigms that's involved with weight loss. But really, even more importantly, is testosterone levels, stress levels, thyroid levels, human growth hormone levels. So a 45-year-old man or a 40-year-old man absolutely would start to experience a decline in his testosterone. I mean, most 40-year-olds do. Not all of them, but many of them do. And what happens when testosterone starts to decline is our muscle mass starts to decline. And with decreased muscle mass, we metabolize less. So, you know, the reason why most guys will lose weight so quickly is they have, you know, a great percentage of their body, which is actually muscular, and women don't have that much muscle. So as soon as you just tweak your muscles a little bit, if you have good levels of testosterone, you know, and exercise a little bit more or build those muscles up a little bit, they become these metabolic machines that just eat those calories up and really raise your whole metabolism so you lose weight. So this gentleman who called in, most likely, I mean, I'd have to get a few more symptoms from him. I'd want to know if he's tired and if he's feeling constipated or having dry skin. Those are symptoms of thyroid disease. But probably he has low T. I mean, almost every 55-year-old man will have low testosterone. And he probably has some low adrenal function, too. The adrenals are the stress hormones, and probably some low thyroid. And all three of those hormones when they're low, or those set of hormones when they're low, causes weight gain.
Well, for our listeners, and we are talking with Dr. Prudence Hall. Our subject today is male hormone replacement. So we're going to take a break in a little bit, but if anybody would like and you want to learn more, you can go to Dr. Hall's website, which is www.hallcentervenice.com. That's HallCenterVenice.com. If you're driving, don't try to write that down. Just go to our Answers for the Family site, and it will be on there as well. We will be back in 1 minute. Founded over 25 years ago,
to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and I am talking with Dr. Prudence Hall. Our subject today is low testosterone and male hormone replacement therapy. We are getting all kinds of calls, instant messages and such that are coming over. And Dr. Hall, I've got another one that actually is coming in from a female. This one reads, men are definitely reluctant to get treatment for anything. As a nurse, she's already got us pegged. As a nurse at a cancer treatment center in Philadelphia, I have seen a marked increase in prostate cancer. Believe it or not, this is the first I have heard about this specific course of treatment, either in prevention or as a co-treatment option. I am definitely going to speak to my coordinating treatment plan team about this, as it makes perfect sense to me. Thank you.
Well, this is good work in the trenches. Good work in the trenches from that, that caller.
But and that sort of poses a question that I would have is that why is it that we have somebody here that's working in, you know, obviously in a hospital dealing with cancer treatment, and they don't know about this? I mean, it just seems unbelievable to me that you know that they're continuing to want to go with some of the archaic ways of cutting things out versus trying to do things naturally. What's the holdup?
Yeah, well, this is something that's very frustrating to me too, as a practitioner who's trying to spread the message to everyone. And it takes about, and this is kind of shocking news, but it takes about 25 years in the field of medicine to have medical knowledge passed on to doctors who are, you know, in the community and to the population at large, to the lay population. So 25 years is a very long time, and that's a lot of death and a lot of suffering that people go through, really being given sort of archaic medical solutions, you know, old medical solutions. I mean, in the field of IT, we would never, you know, look forward to buying a computer that's 10 years old or even 5 years old. So technology is changing very quickly, and our medical knowledge is changing very quickly too. This information coming out of Harvard is 5 years old. So it could take another 20 years before doctors in the community really are behind this idea that testosterone is great for men and helps to prevent prostate cancer, and maybe even as a treatment for prostate cancer. That's what some of the research centers are now looking into.
Well,
so I'm so sorry, and I'm glad she's heard the news, and she can start reading more about it and getting more informed. And the information is definitely out there. I mean, it splashed across a lot of big media, you know, when the Harvard study came out. But still, I mean, you know, we could miss that one publication, then we miss the whole thing.
Well, we're going to change that right now, okay? We're going to change it.
Yeah,
You were
changing this, Alan. You're a man, and you're taking a stand for it. So I'm on your ship here.
All right. But we're going to get it out there. I mean, you know, years ago, maybe when they did these, you know, the things about taking 25 years, I mean, that was before the World Wide Web. I mean, at this point in time, when we get done, I'm going to write some articles and we're going to get it out there so that people understand that there is a way to do this. There is a natural way. They don't have to always cut things out. They don't have to burn things out. They don't have to poison things out. They can just, you know, change their body from the inside out.
That is correct. I'd like to recommend Suzanne Summers' new book called Bombshell. And yes. I had the honor of being in her new book, and it just came out. And it's like, what are the cutting edge bombshell things that medical research is now revealing in terms of being helpful for us? And boy, it's a great book. It's just a great book. Things that are happening in terms of hormonal interventions and stem cell interventions and dietary, dietary things that'll really make you live longer and be healthier. So the information, Suzanne has been very instrumental in terms of spreading a lot of this information about how to stay healthy and how to balance your hormones. So she's really a great friend of mine, and I really just want to support and let everybody know about that new book that she just came out with.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that. And I think if people think about it, I mean, she becomes a great walking testimony, because if I recall, she is also a cancer survivor. And I don't know if people like giving out their age or something, but I'm pretty sure she's in her 60s now. And the last couple of times I've seen her on television, I certainly wouldn't guess it.
No, she's beautiful. She's actually much more beautiful in person than she is when she's all made up. I was over at her house celebrating the new release of her book, and it's just, she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Sexy, beautiful, vibrant. So this is what men and women alike can be like. Wow. I mean, this is our heritage. This is that we should age with, just everything intact, our memory and our enthusiasm. We don't have to age with depression. You know, we can have good muscle mass and a beautiful body and strength and really light, the light of our wisdom shining through us. We don't have to get sick and discouraged and old and put into rest homes. This is not how we should be aging.
Well, I like that. And I think, and hopefully anybody that is, that is now reaching what people refer to as middle age, I think that they would agree. We've got some other questions coming in, which means that you've certainly triggered something here, because we've got one that says, my father was diagnosed with fibromyalgia 2 years ago. He has changed diet and is on several medications. Although the treatments have helped some, the side effects have been almost as bad as the condition. Would hormone therapy possibly help with a condition such as this?
Fabulous question. So fibromyalgia is a complex disease. It's a very complex disease that has multiple causes. And the four top hormonal causes that I actually call fibromyalgia are low adrenals, low testosterone in men, low estrogen in women, low thyroid, and then low vitamin D. So all of those hormones, when they're low, cause pain and fatigue and just in depression and trigger point knots in the back and in the muscles. So hormones are, when I replace those hormones in people who come in with fibromyalgia, they say, gee, I don't know what happened to the fibromyalgia. I just don't feel that way anymore. I have lots of energy. And then there are also some other things that go into fibromyalgia, like dietary allergies, allergies mm-hmm. to diet. And also things like, poor lifestyle and things like that.
Well, it sounds like with a proper balance of one's hormones, a disease like fibromyalgia could become extinct. I mean, is that what we're saying?
Certainly when we balance our hormones, when we balance our thyroid, testosterone, estrogen, when we balance all of our hormones and our adrenal function and change our lifestyle and get on a healthy diet, I don't think fibromyalgia would be around. I just think that 95% of the cases would disappear. Now, there is a viral etiology that is certainly being investigated and that some people believe is a cause of fibromyalgia. Some of the retroviruses that maybe are contagious. But I've dealt with fibromyalgia now for almost 30 years in my patients, and most of those cases just go away. It's a series of low hormones and lifestyle that just we can tweak and fix and they regain their energy and vitality. So that's a very hopeful disease. I like it when someone comes in with that. It takes longer. It'll probably take a year to get rid of all of those symptoms, but patients have great recoveries from that.
Right. Well, and it sounds to me like, and you'd mentioned earlier about, you know, one of the first things that you do, you know, after talking with them is that you run some blood work. And it just sounds to me like this should be the kind of blood work that is done in every time we go in and we're told to go in and get our annual checkup. You know, let's go in and get our annual checkup with the doctor. It seems like this blood work should be being done every time so that they can and be more proactive to where we're addressing these things before people are starting to break down.
Oh, Alan, that is so true. I mean, what would I rather have, a sodium and chloride on the blood panel, or would I rather have a testosterone and a pregnenolone, which is an adrenal hormone? So I cannot be more positive in terms of that suggestion. You know, everyone should get their hormones checked, and we should reevaluate what the normal reference ranges are for blood. The thyroid reference ranges are absolutely inaccurate, the ones that the laboratories are publishing. And this is really important stuff. This is really important stuff. Everyone should be taking care of it, from pediatricians to psychiatrists. I mean, just talk about depression. What causes depression? Well, perimenopause, menopause, the birth control pill, low testosterone, low adrenals, low D3, which is the sunshine hormone, and low thyroid. I mean, boom, we've gotten rid of a whole lot of depression right there.
I like it. Now, let's talk a little bit about kind of the delivery. I mean, what are the modes of, let's take testosterone first, but what are the modes of treatment as it relates to testosterone or again, male hormones? Because I was noticing, I mean, there seems to be a lot of different ways, and we're just starting to see this wave of advertising now that's coming over television and radio that seems to be in ingestibles. But aren't there other ways as far as, you know, patches or injections? And are we going into a danger zone with people being able to buy this, you know, pills over the internet?
So first of all, hormones always need to be measured and followed by doctors.
Okay. And
they always need to be, because there's not a generic level that people should be at. For example, with men, some men feel really great with a testosterone level of 600, and other men need to bring it up to 1200. So we need to know what the levels are before we treat, and then we need to follow with levels. And it's not difficult. I mean, a lot of guys I'll see once a year. In the beginning, I'll see them maybe once every 3 months for a couple of times, and then once a year is fine. So first of all, we need to follow these levels. So the second thing is, as long as the hormone is bioidentical, there are many ways to get a hormone into the body. For men, I've found that injections work very well, and the injections are done every 5 to 10 days, and it's a very small needle, and guys don't feel it, or they feel it very minimally. That's a bioidentical testosterone that they're injecting. The patches are out that work okay. I'm not that crazy about the patches because I don't get as good of levels on them. Abe Morgenthaler in Boston is using a lot of pellets, and he says the men like pellets a lot. They're quite expensive, which is a downside. And there's a little minor surgery where you have to make a little nick in the skin and insert the pellets and then either put a little stitch or a little Steri-Strip on top. So I haven't started doing that yet, but I've done that for women in the past. And that works very well.
Can you explain that a little bit better? Because I haven't heard that one. Now, it's a pellet that they're putting under your skin?
There are multiple pellets, actually. So there's a little, you make a little nick in the skin, and you insert a disposable tube in the skin, and then you sort of insert 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 little testosterone pellets underneath the skin. They're like little grains of rice, and then you insert them underneath the skin and kind of then put a little stitch over that, or a little Steri-Strip, which is a little paper that's adhesive that closes that little incision up. And it's usually put into men's buttocks.
Okay.
So then men don't have to do their testosterone shot every week or 10 days. They about every 4 to 6 months, usually about every 4 to 5 months, they need to get the pellets changed. Then they need to come back into the doctor's office. So, you know, I think that the top methods are the shots or the pellets. Cream doesn't work very well. I use cream for years with guys, but it converts a little bit into something called dihydrotestosterone. Because when testosterone gets in the hair follicles of men, it can create that DHT, and that can cause men to lose their hair. Mm. So the shots are definitely a better way to go.
Yeah, we don't want to create. Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just saying we don't want to create one. You know, we're trying to help one thing, and then now the hair is falling out. And so yeah, we don't want to create
no.
One problem. Mm-mm. From another. So I get that.
And I just want to say one of my great pearls for hair loss is for men and women is to take digestive enzymes with your meals.
Digestive.
That really helps. You want to really break down your food and get all the nutrients and amino acids into your body. And that really causes your hair to grow and your skin to be lustrous and, you know, really high quality digestive enzymes.
All right. So for everybody listening out there, we're picking up a little extra now. Anybody that feels like they're a little thin up on top or whatever, you can go with the digested enzymes. Now, some of this information, is this all stuff that's maybe on your website that if people could, you know, again, if they're driving or they're not in a position to write things down, is this all stuff that's on your website?
I have lots of articles, lots of videos on the website. So I invite everybody to come and we have a lot of information. I want to give away and share as much as I possibly have.
All right. Well, I've got another question that's coming in. This one says, as a senior male, parentheses, 58, I have been experiencing a lack of energy and weight gain, although I am doing nothing different. My diet is the same as it's been for almost 30 years. I don't drink or smoke and overall live a very healthy lifestyle. I do some running and I go to the gym 3 times a week. Maintaining my body and mind is increasingly more difficult each year that passes. If I were to explore this option, how long do you estimate it would be before I would notice a difference?
Well, what a really, really great question, because he hit on a lot of the typical male patient symptoms of low testosterone. So the typical male with low testosterone gains weight, is tired, has a low sex drive. He didn't mention that. Low energy, loss of muscle mass, fatigue, depressed, sometimes erectile dysfunction, you know, finding that the erections are less strong. So he really qualifies a lot as having low T. And I just want to tell this caller, you are not a senior citizen. 58 is youthful and young and vital. But it is a time that a lot of men do experience low testosterone. So we'd measure a free testosterone and a total testosterone. And I would expect if we started him on that therapy and maybe another couple of hormones too, that within a month or two, he would feel a definite difference. I have men when we teach them how to do their injections, after the injection, they turn to me in 10 minutes and say, I don't know what is going on, but I feel so much more energy and stamina. And it gets into the body and men feel it.
Wow.
Men respond very rapidly to this. Certainly within a month, men are feeling it.
Okay. Now we just, I think we've got about 5 more minutes. One of the thoughts that I had was, I mean, you know, as related to male hormone therapy, this is just my own little thing, you know, do you get more inquiries from men who are wanting to know, or do you get more inquiries from women or the wives, girlfriends who are saying, hey, come help me with him?
Oh, yeah. So the caller who was in the cancer field saying that men didn't really take care of their health is that's certainly my experience too. So women usually bring in their partners and say, he's depressed, he's gaining weight, he's not feeling so good. And by the way, I now feel really sexy, Prudence, and I want my guy to be okay too. So guys tend to, you know, they're the hunters and the warriors. They're out there. They don't tend to show when they're wounded. They tend to, you know, go forward and to ignore it. And what I would encourage men to do is to, their greatest strength is discernment about themselves. I mean, our greatest asset is the energy we have. So, I don't want my male patients or any male for that matter to hit midlife and to find out that he's no longer top dog. You know, I want him to stay in his powerful, youthful, you know, radiance of who he is. And that really is dependent on lifestyle, diet, hormonal balance. So it's just, you know, men are so busy taking care of everyone around them that they frequently just don't look at themselves. But shine that love on themselves first, and then, you know, put on your life vest first, and then they can go out and be the man that they always knew that they were.
Well, I certainly like that. Now, is this the type of thing? So, in other words, let's say that somebody, you know, somebody now starts, they go in and they get tested and they realize that they are low in a couple of areas. And now you have put them on, say, injections or something. Is this something that they now, this is like the rest of your life? Or does your body ever get to the point to where it sort of understands that you needs that, that you need this, and it starts developing more on its own?
So both are true. Some men need testosterone for the rest of their lives, and other men, when they really change their diet and start absorbing their nutrients and go on a very healthy bioavailable diet, their hormone levels come back into a normal range. So it can either be sort of a stopgap situation or really a long-term solution. I take care of a lot of young men. And these men come in. There's a whole generation of men out there, Alan, who are about 30, and they are hard driving, top of their game. You know, they're doing their Tai Chi, their breath work, their diet, and they're aware when their testosterone levels are dropping due to stress. So those men, I'll put on a little testosterone, help them decrease their stress, and they're off of it very quickly, you know, because they're on their game. I mean, they're at the top of their game.
Well, and let's talk about that, because that was actually one of the subjects I wanted to touch on, which is stress. You know, I don't think that's one of the things that most people would normally think about, that it is actually affecting your hormones. So tell us a little bit how stress is actually causing or at least a factor in these problems for men.
Yeah. So testosterone is one of the stress hormones. So the stress hormones are DHEA, testosterone, cortisol, and pregnenolone. Those are the main stress hormones. So the Army measured young men's hormones when they were in Desert Storm. And these 19 and 20-year-olds, after they'd been in battle for 2 weeks, dropped their testosterone levels to pre-pubertal levels, like, you know, 8-year-old boy levels. And the Army was very concerned about this. And it was the stress of the battle that did that. So what happens when a man is under stress is he pours out his adrenal hormones. You know, the hormones just pour out of the adrenal glands, and then the adrenal glands become depleted. It's kind of like saying you're a Maserati, you're on the freeway, and you're pressing on the pedal. Well, you aren't going to go so fast. You're going to run out of gas pretty fast. So, you know, that's really why testosterone levels fall in men, because it's not only coming from the testicles, testosterone, but it also comes from the adrenal glands.
Right. So let me see if I'm gathering this. So if you're stressed over, like, you know, a short period of time and you have stress in your life, but, you know, but then you have other things that release this stress and things, it sounds like your body's going to continue to make or replenish the things that it's using during that stress. But if you have continued stress over a long period of time, the body's unable to manufacture those things that we need quick enough, so it's bringing us down.
That's right. That's right. How fast can the body replenish itself? So when we're not sleeping, not eating correctly, or we're in battle, you know, in battle, testosterone levels fall very quickly. But, you know, this stress of work and not sleeping enough and pushing a little too hard and not replenishing ourselves really does affect hormonal balance significantly. It's the number one cause of hormone imbalance in men.
Well, then I better keep doing my yoga and all the other things so that I don't drag that stress out too long. Well, Dr. Hall, I got to tell you, the time has absolutely flown by. I love having
hasn't it?
Joe. What?
I said, hasn't it? I can't believe it's been an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. But first of all, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And I was not kidding. It will be one of my goals to make sure that more people know about what it is that you're doing and the things that we can do naturally to improve their life, which in essence improves the life of their entire family. Because whatever it is that we're doing, we're going to show it to our children. We're going to pass it down to our children. If we can teach them that these things are valuable, then they're going to put it on in the next generation. So I'm with you, and I'm going to be there supporting it 100%.
Oh, Alan, thank you so much. It's such an important message. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. And again, for the listeners out there, you can go to www.hallcentervenice.com. You can get more information in regards to this. And just real quick, now some of these people may be local. They can give you a call. They can come in. What happens if somebody that's in another state, another country or whatever, if they need to get some of this information? Can you still help them if they go ahead and contact your office?
Sure. Sure. I take care of people all over the world, and a number of those patients can't come in, so that we have a variety of ways to help those patients, too. They just call, make an appointment, and we'll do phone consults, Skyping, and really try to reach as many people as we possibly can.
Well, there you go. There's no excuses for anybody out there. So have a wonderful life, everybody out there, and know that there are plenty of ways that you can improve it. Again, Dr. Hall, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Raising children is a tough job. The job is even harder due to all the distractions, temptations, and dangers facing teens and their parents in our modern age. Some of these children are especially challenging and make such poor decisions as teens that their parents fear for their child's safety and future. I'm Lon Woodbury, and as an independent educational consultant, in my 22 years of practice as Woodbury Reports, we have worked to help hundreds of parents individually throughout the country who fear for their child's future. We also have an extensive website, strugglingteens.com, that provides as much objective information as we can to help parents. And we produce an LA Talk radio show interviewing leading professionals who are helping parents right after Answers for the Family. If you have a child whose decisions make their future in doubt, and you are looking for help, you can call me at 208-267-5550, and I'll be glad to try to help you. Or check my website, strugglingteens, that's one word, .com.